Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We begin with NASA. There is a new head of NASA named Duffy, who is also the transportation secretary, I believe, and he's making decisions. Bob, a very good evening to you. Space station plans for the ISS for into the future. My understanding was ISS goes away and gets replaced. I forget. Good evening.
Yes. Yes, John. The acting NASA administrator, Sean Duffy, who is also a transportation secretary, he's not yet been confirmed by the Senate. He might not be the eventual NASA administrator, but depending on who Trump eventually nominates, he might be. Who knows? But in the interim, he this week issued a new directive that is a significant thing, obviously not covered by most of the mainstream press. Instead, the press was focused on his announcement he wants to put a nuclear power station on the moon for an Artemis program. Now, that is a lot of blather, and it's not going to go anywhere, and it's not that important, but that's what the press focused on. But what Duffy also did this week was much more significant. He issued a directive that fundamentally reshapes the agency's space station program and how it'll fund it and operate those commercial space stations now under development. And this is a significant decision he's made. The way NASA was going to do it previously was they had issued small, not small, but developmental contracts to 3 different companies/consortiums building different space stations. Actually, they issued 4, but one of them, Northrop Grumman, backed out. So they had 3. And then there was a 4th company, Vast, who was building its own prototypes manned station to demonstrate its capabilities. And the plan was that next year or so, NASA was going to issue a major contract for the construction of the space stations. It might have been for two stations, but mostly everyone was expecting them to fund only one of those stations. And so of those 4 companies, 3 would have to find entirely other sources of funds under the old plan. Duffy has changed this. He has said, instead of issuing a major contract, and a major contract that goes under much more strict NASA-controlled rules, he's going to continue with the development-type contracts they're using now, fixed-price contracts. They call SpaceX agreements. These are the kind of contracts that made it possible for SpaceX to develop its Falcon 9 and Dragon capsule independent of NASA control. They designed it. They owned it. SpaceX put it in orbit and did it cheaper and faster because NASA was not interfering in the operations. And Duffy has decided to follow that plan with the space stations and to issue these space agreements, these Space Act agreements, to all the consortiums that are bidding. Obviously, they will weigh which ones they want to favor, but he wants to give them continuous funding, a series of smaller contracts as they move forward, with the idea of having as many stations in orbit as possible. This is an excellent idea in that it is putting the focus on NASA in developing a space industry in low Earth orbit. It is what I've been advocating since December after the election. Rather than focus on going to the moon, Duffy still is doing that, but rather than focus on that, they should be trying to do everything NASA can do to encourage private enterprise in low Earth orbit. Because if we have many, many companies doing many different things in low Earth orbit, we'll be able to get to the moon much easier and much faster and in a much more permanent manner than the Artemis plant the flag on the ground and say yay, and then you don't have anything at all.
What is a space tug?
Now, this is fitting into this. NASA this week issued a contract to 6 different companies. This is not a big contract, but that's okay. The companies are going to own what they do. They should invest some money themselves. But these are 6 small, steady contracts in connection with developing orbital tug operations. And some it has to do with using an actual orbital tug, and some has to do with using a rocket's upper stage for the same purpose. An orbital tug is what you use to move a satellite to its preferred orbit once it's been launched. Sometimes, for example, if you have a whole bunch of satellites being launched on a rocket, that rocket can't put them all in their primary orbit. It can only get them into orbit. And so you attach a tug to the satellite, and the tug, after deployment from the rocket, then moves the satellite into the proper position. And so NASA has issued this contract to six different companies, and some of those companies are going to be doing studies on how to use demonstrations on how to use their tugs to move NASA payloads to orbit. And some of them will be doing studies to use the upper stage to move things to the orbit as a tug. And what this is doing, once again, this is the long lines of what I've said with Duffy, encourage low Earth orbit capabilities, so you have the capabilities in space to do many different things.
Astroscale, is this a space tug?
They're related to that. You know, it's an interesting fine line. What's the difference between a space tug, which moves things around in orbit, and a robotic servicing vehicle that attaches to something in orbit and deorbits it? The difference is very minimal. It's technological, but in a sense, they're the same kind of thing. Astroscale is focused on removing space junk as well as orbital satellite servicing. They have a docking mechanism they're trying to sell to satellite companies that will allow them to dock with satellites and service them as well as deorbit them. Well, they have now gotten a U.S. patent for a space junk removal technology they've developed that could work with satellites that have been planned for deorbiting and docking, as well as satellites that are up there but were never planned to do this. They use robot arms to grab the satellite. And so they've won this patent, which means they are, once again, low Earth orbit technology capability and expansion of that. It's a U.S. Astroscale is originally a Japanese company, but they have divisions in the United States, so they get U.S. business. And so they are now moving in the same direction as those other companies.
Bob, there's very little difference between a space tug and an anti-satellite satellite. Is that correct?
Once again, if you can maneuver to dock and service or deorbit a satellite, you can maneuver to get close and destroy a satellite. So yes, there is relatively little difference technologically, and so this all goes together. Absolutely, if we develop these capabilities, we not only make it easier to colonize the solar system, we develop technologies that can defend us in a military situation.
You remind me, I've read an item that the Golden Dome, you know, the big project that they're talking about in Washington, Space Shield, the Golden Dome is suggesting that we'll need a fleet of bodyguard satellites, you know, like the old days, sailing ships, to guard the primary satellites. Have you heard anything like that? Bodyguards?
These are many ideas that have been proposed. A lot of what's going on there has nothing to do with actually defending the nation. It has to do with lobbying for contracts to make a lot of money. Some of these ideas are less sensible than others. But yes, there's a lot of proposals going out there, and a lot of it is good ideas for defending the nation. A lot of it has to do with pork and
It is monetizing low Earth orbit. That's why.
That's right. Yes, all of this stuff though does, and once again, increasing our capabilities in low Earth orbit not only makes the nation more prosperous, but it also helps to defend ourselves as well.
Starship has a new customer, somebody on board who speaks Italian. Who's that, Bob?
Yes, the Italian Space Agency has signed an agreement with SpaceX to fly experiments on the first Starship flights to Mars that will be carrying customer payloads. The first few might not, but SpaceX intends to fly a lot of Starships to Mars over the next few orbital launch windows, up to several hundred. And so SpaceX has signed a deal with the Italian Space Agency. They want to put payloads on. Those payloads will be, they include a plant growth experiment, a weather monitoring station, and a radiation sensor. That's their goal. These won't fly until SpaceX has gotten Starship operational enough to carry customer payloads on Starship to Mars. But then again, SpaceX tends to do this very early in the game, even when they're doing development work. Why not put a payload on as long as you're flying? And so this is another example. This is not so much low Earth orbit, but it's another example. If you develop capabilities to get into space cheaply, such as Starship Super Heavy, you've now created capabilities to do a lot of other things in space. And that's where we're going.
Firefly, a startup. IPO on Wall Street, and the news at the end of the first day of trading was that it was up 30%, a success. This is a way of reminding us that when you're building rocket ships, some work and some don't. Firefly is working very well. However, Virgin Galactic, what's happened, Bob?
Yes, yes, Firefly, the stock was selling for, in many ways, almost double what they first thought. And they're going to have almost $900 million in investment capital to go places. And the investment community at Wall Street seems to be more careful about who it wants to put money into. They were very enthusiastic about space early on, and sometimes they've invested in companies that weren't going anywhere. But they're being more careful, but they're also being enthusiastic when they find something they like. Virgin Galactic, yes. This is a company that ain't going to go anywhere, I think, in the future. It has been rebuilding its Spaceship Two new vehicle called Delta, as well as the mothership. It was going to start flying, it said, this summer, suborbital test flights. It's now not going to do them until later in the year. It's also cutting its workforce by 7%. Virgin Galactic was a great example of pump and dump. Richard Branson pumped that company for years and then timed big pumping with their first passenger flight, which he flew on, and they got the stock up really high, and then he dumped everything. He sold it all, made his millions, and left the company where it is now, not flying and not really having much future.
The shuttle is moving to Houston for a museum, but what shuttle? Bob, I was unaware that there were games being played with which shuttle's going to Texas.
So Congress and the reconciliation bill included a clause and $85 million to move one of the shuttles specifically the shuttle that the Smithsonian has in the Air and Space Museum in Washington, Discovery, specifically to move that to Houston, to the Johnson Space Flight Center, to let them have a shuttle. They don't have a shuttle. These are all, of course, no longer operational. These are just museum pieces. The Smithsonian has protested. They say, we have a full title to this, and you can't order us to give it away. We don't want to do it. There's confusion because Duffy and the legislation does say that Sean Duffy will choose one of the shuttles to move. It has to be a vehicle that flew in space and carried people. It's a little vague there, but it did specify Discovery. He can't really do Discovery, nor can he do the capsule that's out in the California Space Center, the shuttle there, because they also have full rights, and you can't take it away from them legally. The only shuttle that NASA controls is Atlantis, which is in Florida on display. And I would see the political battle of stealing Florida's shuttle and moving it to Houston to be really not going to go well. So there's a lot of confusion here, and a lot of it's, this is just silly political stupidity. This is not where the focus should be. The focus should be in trying to encourage American private enterprise in space, not playing games with museum pieces.
Now, Bob, there's a couple of fake Enola Gays. There's some money in coming up with a counterfeit. I just mentioned, if you have a restaurant, for example, you might buy a fake shuttle and put it on the roof. Just mentioning, they're useless.
Yeah.
All right. The Chinese landing takeoff test for what, Bob?
Their manned lunar lander. This is a prototype. It's not the actual one, I've learned, but they did actual takeoff and landing tests of their manned lunar lander, and they announced this in state-run press this week, and they showed a picture. It is remarkable how much it looks like a lunar module that the Apollo astronauts used, but that doesn't surprise anyone based on how China works. It's a prototype, but they've now tested their engines, and basically they think they've got the engines for their ascent and descent modules of this lander. Operational and working. And so they are moving forward, no surprise.
You remember, Bob, Long March 5, when it first was premiered, that had some troubles, and we suspected at the time that the Chinese had not stolen all the right equipment when they had to rebuild it. Long March 5B, they went back and stole the right things. Okay. The layoffs at Russia's Roscosmos. This is no.
No, this is more expansive. There hasn't been any confirmations of this yet, but various sources I found on the web were indicating that major job layoffs, salary cuts, and other reductions were going to affect as many as 800,000 people across 9 different large Russian companies, which are all government agencies, of course. And these reduced work hours, unpaid leave, And a lot of it's involved with the aviation industry. And I couldn't get a list of the 9 different large companies. It might have included the subdivisions within Roscosmos. I don't know. But it does appear from this that if this is about to happen, it's connected to the disaster of the Ukraine war. And it does indicate that Russia's weakening economy and situation continues to accelerate.
Well, you remember from the Soviet days, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. Could be coming back. Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, we're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylo's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 8/7 to 8/20. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.